This is the Wedding Experience Podcast with me, Shay Dooley.
All right, everyone. Well, welcome to the Wedding Experience Podcast. Again, this is Shay Dooley, but today I have my wife with me, Chelsea.
Hi, guys.
And the reason I've got Chelsea is because when I told her the topic of what I'm going to be discussing today, she was adamant that she was going to be a part of it. And the reason why is because the topic we're going to be talking about today is so wildly popular. It is the number one question that we get. We get thousands and thousands and thousands of inquiries every single year. And Chelsea, what is the number one thing that every couple wants to know?
How much does your venue cost?
How much does your venue cost? And then even when they book with us, they want to know about the different vendors and how much they cost. And they even ask us questions that are really difficult, like, are they expensive? Because everybody has a different definition of what is expensive or not. So we're going to break down about five different discussion topics around cost. And we think that today is going to be wildly popular and helpful for both families and even parents that are looking at helping with the cost of the wedding. So let's jump in. You ready, Chels?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So the very first one is around, are you guys expensive and what is the cost? Now, of course, that's a very broad question. And with that is a very complicated answer. So the reason I wish I could just be like, this is how much we are. And you might even get frustrated when you start to look at venues. You're like, why are they just not being upfront? Why are they making this complicated? Well, guys, I got to be honest with you. It is complicated. There are so many factors, and many venues and vendors wish that it was very easy to communicate this over email or phone, but it's really not. That's why in this industry, tours are so important. And it's not just our venue, it's anywhere you go. Now, of course, you can do like price per person. Sometimes destination weddings have like different packages and they make it easier. And honestly, they're only doing that because if they didn't, they probably wouldn't be able to book clients. So they're relying on, you know, because of distance, they can't do a lot of tours. So if you're looking for that local style wedding, no matter what type of environment, ballrooms, churches, barn weddings, whatever that looks like, it's going to be difficult to answer the question of how much do you cost. Now, the other components of that are because of the cost structure. So every venue has wildly different cost structures. Some are all inclusive, so they're charging a flat venue fee. There's, there's other fees that are involved. Oftentimes, if you have to have certain price per headcount for food and beverages, and then there are other venues that you can bring in your own alcohol. And I'll talk about that later, but that's not as glamorous as that might sound. So again, costs can be different, but what you'll also see is. And this gets, you know, Chelsea, and you can speak about this as much as you'd like. Where it gets really difficult is, you know, I feel like we are really upfront with our pricing, and that kind of bites us sometimes because we try to include more. We talk about, we include our the fees that a lot of venues charge. And so we know that we lose clients and we don't get the opportunity to even do tours to explain our price. Because couples that have never done this before are comparing us to other venues.
So I want to jump in here. And for those of you that have toured with me, you've heard this story before, but I bring it up so often because of how important it was. And those of you that know us know that Shay and I started this venue because of our own experience with our own wedding. And one of the biggest regrets that both of us have, I mean, Shay, but you can agree, is we didn't ask the right questions up front. And at the end, we were charged with fees for lights, bistro lighting, extra fees for staff, gratuity service charges, and that's just to name a few things. And so that's what is so important, is you have to ask those questions right up front to your vendor or to your venues. What all does it include? And what can I expect? What are you going to charge me? Is there anything that I'm going to get hit with at the end of this, right? Like a lot of venues will charge you fees for toilet paper, which is funny to me. They'll charge you fees to use their staff. You have to get a security guard and you have to pay for that. So that's one of the biggest things that Shay and I are really passionate about is ensuring that everything is included in our wedding package, because we know how hard it can be when you're a saver like we are, right? We're pretty good at saving money. And when you're not expecting that at the end, you haven't planned for that. You haven't saved for that. And that's where that frustration comes in.
So the one thing that I would add on that is, you know, even the fees that you were talking about, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. It's just about being upfront. It's okay for a venue to charge for things like lighting. It's okay to charge for things like staffing. That is, you know, other vendors and other vendors' policy on their pricing. The problem is when you didn't ask the questions up front, or what you did was you, as a client, you are comparing price versus price and you didn't get to ask the questions because they expected you to know what questions to ask. So again, my biggest recommendation before we move on to the second topic is when you're asking about cost, everyone's going to tell you, and especially after the wedding, that you have to know the questions to ask. You want to be upfront, and guys, I'm adamant about this. You have to tour venues. Don't just rely on your Excel spreadsheets and mark down, oh, this one costs this and this one costs that. You don't know until you've asked the questions and you've done the tours. So go look at the venues. All right, so let's jump into the second one. Now, you know, again, there are a lot of couples that do, you know, dry events where alcohol is not involved, and you know, today the second topic is really around alcohol because it's the number probably two thing that, and it falls under the cost because nobody talks too much about alcohol other than what is the cost going to go along with the wedding. So of course you've got dry events, you also have open bar, you have closed bar, you have where you set a limit, but there's all kinds of different structure and price that goes into alcohol as well. I'll also say, just like the venue, there's a tremendous amount of difference with cost structure and how to save. And at the end of the day, you guys, one of the honest truths is it really depends on your family, your friends, and how much they drink. I mean, we could have 300 people one weekend and they charge X amount of dollars. And then the next, the exact same scenario, nothing changed, and they could spend three times as much. So it's really difficult for us to answer, but I will tell you with alcohol, we're gonna break out a couple other things that could definitely help you along this path. Do you have anything to add before we keep going?
No, I would say I run our bar too here, and that's the number one question that I get is, what's it gonna cost? What would a full open bar cost me? And to Shay's point, it varies every wedding. I mean, some weddings you have heavy drinkers, some you have, you know, ones where they hardly drink at all. And so it really does, and it depends on the crowd that you invite to your wedding, but plan something. And that's my number one stress, is make sure that you're providing something, because your guests, they're coming out here, they're getting you a gift, they're celebrating you, right? They want a beer. I mean, I know I want a beer when I go to a wedding. What about you, Shay, right?
I mean, yeah.
So do something for them, right? And that's just a really nice way to say thank you to your guests is, you know, provide them with a couple of free drinks. You could do drink tickets. You could do the most popular thing that we do at our venue is packages. And I think we're going to get into that a little bit more on you know, how to budget that, but that's the easiest way, in my opinion, to be able to pre-plan is say, okay, we're going to set a limit of X amount of dollars, and that's what we're going to spend. And then once you hit that, you can turn it into a cash bar, right? Or you can do just for the beer and the wine and then have shots and mixed drinks on there. So there's definitely so many things that you can do to save money, right? And all I'm saying is don't cut out the bar, because it's very important to your guests.
Yeah, and again, this one is so controversial, but you know, in 2019, I promised Chelsea we need to be more upfront and about what our couples really want to know and what people need to know. And I would say, and it's hard for us because we own a bar. And so this isn't about Harper's Vineyard, which is what we own. This is about, in general, what we're seeing is really the days of not having to provide anything towards the bar. It's really gone away. it started in the coast where, like, you would never see in a coast wedding on the East or West Coast. You would never see it to where there wasn't some type of bar package. And in the Midwest, for a while, we've got away with that. But really, it's hit hard. And I would just, again, just like Chelsea said, provide some type of beverage package or drink or even some tickets at the wedding. Your guests will definitely appreciate it. And I've said this in many different episodes, your guest will leave much sooner, almost guaranteed they will leave sooner if there's nothing to drink at the wedding and they're paying for it. Not every time. They do.
Yes.
So now that's, of course, if you're paying for the alcohol. Now let's talk about the other topic, which is, well, what if we get a DIY where we can provide our own alcohol? So hands down, you will save a tremendous amount of money if you find a venue. And there's not a lot of them, and often this will fall into the category of maybe getting married at a family farm or something like that. If you have that option, and you can bring in your own alcohol, just understand what the hassle is that goes along with that, the liability that goes along with that, and it can be a headache. Now, that's not always. Some people can definitely pull that off, but things you're going to have to consider are ice. Listen, we run an outdoor venue. Ice is like gold. It is like essential. It's expensive. It's timely. You have to have the logistics down play. It's a big thing.
Remember the time, sorry to butt in, remember when, before we got our ice machines, do you remember the 50 bags of ice that you had to haul?
That's right. When we when we first got started, we literally would have to go get 800 pounds of ice in round trips because we lived 30 miles away from the closest grocery store. So, you know, ice is a big, big deal. You have to have the coolers that go along with it. You can definitely save money, but oftentimes if you're going to fall under certain restrictions, you have to have security guards, if not licensed police officers in some states and some cities, to make sure that you're falling under the legality of being able to do that. So there's all of that option. And then the final thing that nobody wants to talk about is you have zero control over how much your guests drink. And for some of you, you might not care at all, but take it from us, who we host a lot of events. We host many, many events every single year, and there's always someone that might show up that, you know, didn't even come to the venue, wasn't served anything, and we place control and we make sure that nobody gets over-served at the venue, and you have no control over that in those DIY styles. So again, you might not care, but at the end of the day, if you have somebody that's absolutely, you know, over-served or drinking way too much at your wedding, one guest can really make a damper on your day. We'll leave it at that. We won't go into horror stories, right? So, all right. Anything else on alcohol?
No, I think that covers it.
All right. Awesome. So this next one, I've discussed this a little bit before, but this is really about the expense, quote unquote expense, around vendors. How much does a vendor cost? And being the venue, and especially because we have a coordinator for hire, we get the questions around vendors all the time. So vendors, of course, as I've told you before, there are things like preferred vendors, and sometimes preferred means that you are required, okay? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, but some venues require you to go with specific vendors. Now, I've talked again about this before, that that's not always a bad thing, because some of the venues are getting cuts of that profit whenever they recommend certain vendors. But really, the big reason why is because these are quality vendors that the venue has done business with, they've had established relationships with, and there's a lot less risk, not just to the venue, but a tremendous amount less risk to the clients. And the vendors are a direct reflection of the venue. I'll say that again. The vendors are a reflection of the venue. So that's where that preferred vendor comes into place.
Amen. To piggyback off of that, you know, we've had several vendors out here over the years, and a lot of super amazing vendors. But to Shay's point, your guests don't realize that those vendors didn't come from your venue that you hired. So that's why a lot of times the venues will have preferred vendors. Now, we take a little bit different spin and we allow you to bring in your own. However, we have tons of recommendations. So if you have, and we do that because we don't want to control your day, right? And we want you to be able to, if you have an aunt that's an amazing photographer, then we want you to be able to have that option. But to Shay's point, and I think we're going to get into this next here, is be very, don't just go for the cheapest photographer, right? Like, don't read your reviews. Make sure that they're great. Have a consultation with them. See what kind of connection you have with them. I'll share a story about a friend of ours. They actually got married a couple years ago, and they wanted a budget wedding, which was great. And budget for them was, I think they wanted the whole thing for what, Shay?
It wasn't a lot. It wasn't a
right?
lot.
So anyway, they decided to hire this photographer, and this was 3 years ago, and they still haven't seen one picture from their wedding, not one. And so just be careful. For whatever vendor you go with, just make sure that you read your reviews, that you know the backstory, and don't always just go on the cheapest vendor.
Yeah, so again, that's why it gets really difficult when someone says, you know, I'm looking for, and you see this on Facebook, you see it in wedding forums, we get the question all the time, I want a vendor and find me someone that's not expensive. We don't know what that means, guys, because at the end of the day, what value would you put on pictures for the rest of your life? What value would you put on, you get done with a day and a videographer said, I accidentally lost all of your video footage.
Oh,
well, my question back to you would be, what is the value that you're willing to pay? And although you could not guarantee, no matter what level of experience, that would never happen to you, someone that has a lot of experience, a videographer that has two people working versus one, two or three cameras versus one, that's a tremendous amount less risk. But of course, that's going to come with a cost. And it's about the value that you have. Listen, Chelsea and I grew up in sales and customer service, and expense is a very difficult topic for us because we believe in the value that we have. And every client, every guest places a different value on every single thing. Some of you that are listening think that a photo booth is the greatest thing in the world. I'm going to tell you that if it's my wedding, it's not like, I love it, but it's not my top thing. I might like, you know, a great photographer more, or a different client might really want videography, and some people just don't even do videographers right now. So when it comes to expense, you know, those recommendations, we're going to make you recommendations based on, you know, the cost range. But I always recommend, you know, if you really care, don't look at just the cheapest and don't just find that new person that's out there that's just trying to get their feet wet. There's a time and place for that.
Absolutely. And again, set up consultations with each one of your vendors. I can't stress that enough. Before you book anybody, even the venue, set up a consultation with them, because I'm a firm believer on first impressions, and that first impression, you know, you're going to get a good idea on whether or not this person, whether you get a good vibe from this person, right? And so make sure that you do your research before you book your vendors, because there's nothing worse than spending money and not getting your pictures or having an awful experience from your DJ because they don't have the right sound equipment and your song doesn't play when it's time for you to walk down the aisle.
Right.
So,
all right, guys. So we're going to move away from the vendors. And the fourth topic is actually one of my favorite and one that I haven't talked about. This one is all about supply and demand. And we're going to cover this because this one really falls under the venue and the vendors and how this plays into cost. You know, basic economics, the very fundamentals of 101 economics is supply and demand. So a lot of times, you know, when you go and you're trying to determine what's expensive, what's not, where to save money, and how you do that, a lot of that is going to come to when do clients want specific dates and then the time of the year. This, you know, this varies by region. In the coastal states where, you know, or even like California, Florida, where the weather is, you know, usually in some areas decent all year round, cost isn't going to be as impacting as the Midwest, where, you know, we're about to hit with 8 inches of snow right now. Nobody's getting married this weekend. And I mean, some might, but not at our venue. So the cost is much less in the winter, or what we call the off-peak season. But in peak season, you know, the fall, summer, and spring, the cost is going to go up tremendously. Then in addition to that, a Friday versus a Saturday versus a Sunday versus a Monday through Thursday is also going to vary greatly. So you might be surprised as you're seeing some venues that a Sunday is, you know, a third or half the cost of a Saturday. But at the end of the day, you're really going to pay for that supply and demand. And, you know, I'm going to get into it in the fifth point, and we really are going to talk about how that's evolved for our business. But I can tell you that, you know, one of the things you should consider, and I've talked about this again in other episodes, is when it comes to your date, some people are adamant about a date. Sometimes it's really random, guys. Like sometimes it's like, that's my favorite number. Or, you know, 7 years ago, a celebrity got married on that date. I mean, I'm being funny right now, but sometimes, I'm just going to be honest with you guys, the date thing is a little ridiculous, and you're paying twice to three times as much because you're so set on a special date where that could literally be the next week or the week before, and it could save you a tremendous amount of money, or you can actually get the venue or the vendor of your dreams versus you sticking with this date. And I'm not trying to insult anybody. Sometimes that date is really special, but 9 out of 10 times, and maybe it's not for me to say, I'm like, maybe you shouldn't be so adamant about that date, and maybe keep your options open because it's going to limit you when you're doing tours.
Well, and I think a lot of it is the perception, right? So the first thing, and brides, I'm sure you can all attest to this, the first thing that people ask you right after you get engaged is, well, when's the wedding? And everybody always asks you that. And so if you've asked that question, right, I think that this can apply to you too. So shame on you, but everyone always asks that. So I feel like that also becomes a expectation that people feel like they have to have their date picked first. And I'm here to tell you, and I know Shay's talked about this before, but you don't have to have that date unless it's extremely special and that's the only time, or if it's your anniversary or something like that, then absolutely. But go to find your venue first and then pick your date, because a lot of times you can save a substantial amount of money if you can be flexible.
Yep. So, you know, the last thing I'm going to say about supply and demand, and I talked about the fact that, you know, and this falls into my fifth point as well that we'll go over. But when we first started, what, 4 years ago, three, yeah. 4 years ago, when we first started doing this, I mean, it was easy. We got clients that would email us, you know, once every couple days, and we could instantly reply, and we'd get just a couple, inquiries for dates, and we would instantly, whatever it takes to book it. And we would always struggle with the vendors and venues that had been around for a really, really long time, and they weren't quite as responsive. Maybe it took them 8 hours or 12 hours to get back, or, you know, or maybe they were more selective about the clients. At the end of the day, you guys, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. Again, when it comes to supply and demand, depending on where you are in the region, some very established vendors, at the end of the day, you're always going to get what you paid for. So with venues and vendors, ones that have been around, they're going to be more selective. They have that option. They have the ability to really look for the clients that are not just great for the client, but they're also really great for the venue or the vendor as well. So just keep that in mind that, you know, every vendor and venue wants as much business as they can possibly manage, but they start to look at what is the best fit for both. Whereas sometimes in the very beginning, you might have a venue or vendor that's just getting started, and it might be a little bit easier and cheaper because they just started out. And you're going to see a completely different level of experience with someone that's just emerging in the venue space. All right, so the final one that we're going to be talking about is comparing one vendor or venue to another, and just really the dangers that go along with that. I'm going to speak probably more about, because we started out as a barn wedding, okay? And one of the difficult things around the barn style wedding is that sometimes it's easier to compare costs by saying, okay, here's 4 barn weddings, and then what is the cost going to be? And you're going to compare it across the board. You might do the same with a hotel, a different church. You could do it with a ballroom style, and you're literally just comparing cost across the board. This one is tough for us because you know, it hits close to home. But whenever it comes to actually comparing one vendor to the other, it can be dangerous because of all of the other things that we talked about. It's the cost structure. It's how long they've been in business. It's what is the experience. And that is what really this fifth one is about, is what is the experience that you're going to get? If you're relying on a website to compare pricing, it's going to be really difficult. If you go and you look at some pictures and you say, okay, well, this one has this and this one has that, that could be difficult. This is talking about how are your guests treated? What does the day of operation look like? Who's going to be handling the stress? Are you going to be more worried about the stressors and making sure decorations are put out? Or do they have the staff and experience, the intangibles, the things that are so much more difficult to really evaluate? And so that is where I believe, I'll be the first to admit, we charge a premium at our venue other than some of the other barn weddings or the outdoor venues, even hotels sometimes. But that comes because of the love and the customer experience that we try to put into each one of the weddings. And so how can you be empowered around this? My big thing is asking for referrals, looking at reviews, checking out the experience. Chelsea, you talked about it earlier, being able to connect during the tour. If those things happen, I would just highly recommend that $1,000 or $2,000 that you save to have a experience that you're not sure of versus a really great connection with your tour or having a great recommendation or a great review, or even if you've been in person and experienced a wedding at that venue already, I would just say, at the end of the day, I would highly value customer experience over any of those other elements. You want to add anything?
No, you hit it spot on. I think that so many times I hear stories from people about how their cousin or their aunt or whomever got married. And, you know, sometimes it's a great experience, but oftentimes it's the customer service wasn't there, or they didn't help with this or that or this or that. And so whether that's the venue or any vendors, and I think you're right, you pay for what you get, and customer service is the same way. So you can't just solely go on, we want a wedding for X amount of money, right? And we're going to book that and find the cheapest place or make sure that this is within our budget. You have to make sure that it feels right and that you feel that connection, because weddings are the most stressful time of your life. And I'll say that again, it can be so stressful if you don't have the right people in your corner. And if you don't have the right vendors, and if you don't have the right venue that's there to help you and be able to help guide you through the process, it can be very, very stressful. So just be careful and make sure you feel that connection with whomever you're touring with, whether it be a venue or a vendor, because it's very important, in my opinion.
Awesome. You know, and Chelsea and I have been in customer service for our entire life. Everybody that works with us and for us at the venue, they've had a tremendous amount of customer experience. We spend immense amount of time on training, on development, because that's our core background. And you're going to experience this. Anybody that tours with us, you're going to see that. If you have a wedding at our place, you're going to feel that. And so for any of you that are not coming to our venue and touring, or maybe even across the U.S., because we have quite a few listeners, obviously outside of our area, but we'd still love for you to come and do a destination in Iowa. But for that, you really need to go to those tours and see if you're connecting with the individuals. Figure out, are they going to be the ones that are working the day of your wedding? Because you can spend all of this money, everything that we talked about when it comes to the venue, everything about the vendors, you can be as strategic as you want on all of the other elements, but guys, day of wedding is when everything matters. That is going to be the difference between the greatest experience of your life and a really, really expensive, stressful day. So that's really what I wanted to leave you with. Again, we talked about five core elements of cost. Of course, it's the number one question we get. Hopefully, if you have any questions, you'll email us right over at info@harpers.com. We'd love to answer more questions if you do have any. And we're about to get 2019 started here in a couple months. We're super excited, and we look forward to hearing from you guys in the future.
Bye, guys.